That's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Trump administration says it will provide partial payments for federal food assistance this month. Here in Wisconsin, about 700,000 people rely on the food share program to buy groceries. The decision comes after two federal judges ruled that freezing payments for SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, known as Food Share in Wisconsin, is unlawful. And on Friday, Governor Evers declared a state of emergency focused on how the government shutdown is impacting food assistance. To get a closer look at food insecurity in Wisconsin and what low-income families are faced with, we have Hetty Brown, executive director of Cooley CAP. It's a community action agency serving Crawford, La Crosse, Monroe, and Vernon counties. Hetty, welcome.
Thank you.
And Sarah Halpern-Meekin is here, director of the UW-Madison Institute for Research on Poverty and Bascom Professor of Women, Family, and Community in the School of Human Ecology. Sarah, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Sarah, let's start with you. There are still unknowns about these partial payments, but what can you tell us about the Trump administration's response to these court orders and what they will mean for people who rely on food assistance in Wisconsin?
Just as you said, there are still a lot of unknowns. So it seems that the administration has indicated that they're going to comply with the order to use some of the contingency fund that was already allocated before the shutdown to pay benefits for November. The administration has indicated that those will not be full benefit payments. So exactly what that looks like, exactly what size of benefits households can be expected to receive, and the time frame that they'll receive them is still unknown.
Will it be complicated to process these partial payments in Wisconsin? Because from what I understand, states are going to have to figure this out, this partial payment.
Yes, states are going to have to figure this out. They're going to have to figure out the amount and how to distribute it. Doing that during the shutdown is even more complicated because many federal counterparts who they would otherwise be able to consult with are not on the job due to the government shutdown.
Hetty, your organization works on anti-poverty programs in Southwest Wisconsin. What do these SNAP benefits do for people facing hunger in your part of Wisconsin?
Well, SNAP, or what it's known as, is Food Share in Wisconsin, is a critical lifeline for working families, families with older adults, children, and people with disabilities in our service area and throughout the state. It's really important benefits, especially for families who can't afford the high cost of food otherwise. And during this pause that families are experiencing, they're just simply really concerned how they're going to fill the gap. While food pantries have truly stepped up and our community has stepped up, food pantries cannot fill the gap that is left by SNAP.
How has your community action agency responded in this moment? What are you doing differently?
Well, our food pantries, as well as all the food pantries throughout our region, have extended our services. We have worked closely together, as well as with community partners, to gather more food resources from the community. Our partners, retail partners, community groups, faith-based groups have responded by donating additional food. However, as said, this cannot replace Food Share. And so we are eagerly awaiting the federal response and then the state's response to see how partial payments can be distributed quickly.
Well, let's hear from two people who are dealing with the lapse in food aid. First is Lillian Santiago of Milwaukee County. She has seven children, has used SNAP on and off, sometimes while working multiple jobs. Here's what she told WPR yesterday. Oh, I'm sorry, we don't have this clip. I want to also turn to Latricia Williams, a mother who relies on Food Share. And Latricia spoke to WPR at Kinship Community Food Center in Milwaukee late last month. And she said that her SNAP is running out. It's really getting difficult because she's a SNAP for her child's milk. And she went on to say, Sarah, that she has a four-month-old who relies on formula. Can you talk a little bit about what these families might be facing, especially if they have young children?
Yeah.
So
and
I think...
Sarah, go ahead first and then Hetty.
Thanks. I think it's important to distinguish between the WIC program, which is a nutrition program that supports people during pregnancy, postpartum while breastfeeding, and then children up to age 5. WIC is a program that families rely on heavily, especially during that period of the first year of a child's life when they are using formula. WIC has continued to be funded. So the federal government was able to find funding, and there was not that same immediate threat to the end of WIC benefits. SNAP benefits, however, are serving families, you know, not just with young children, and WIC benefits are much, much smaller. You know, we might be talking about the equivalent of $30, $40 worth of food a month in WIC. SNAP benefits are much larger and are what families are relying on most heavily to feed their children. You know, the average monthly benefit for a family of three, we're talking about something on the order of $6 per person per day. So it's not a huge amount of money, but it's also something that families absolutely have to have to take care of their kids. And in fact, we see in research that that families often run out of SNAP benefits toward the last week or so of the month. And when kids take tests in school during that time, they tend to do less well on them. In fact, when they've done research looking at kids who take college entrance exams, when their family has more SNAP benefits versus less, the kids do better on college entrance exams when they have more SNAP benefits, and they're more likely to go to college. So we know there are big impacts for families when they don't have enough money to get the food their children need.
Hetty, what comes up for you when you hear about the struggles of, you know, mothers and parents who have young children?
Yeah, and it's important to realize that the stressors that are on families right now in trying to feed their families, as Sarah pointed out, are on top of other financial pressures that they've been feeling all year. We have seen major increases over the last couple of years in rent prices, car insurance, heating and cooling costs. Our utility bills have increased, rates have increased year over year over year. So these are all the financial pressures that families are experiencing. Food prices are on top of that. And it's not just the food share program that is being paused. Heating assistance, the federal heating assistance program, has also not been funded through this shutdown. So while people are applying for their energy assistance, we are not able to make payments for their heating assistance, and families don't know when that's going to come through either. So people are really uncertain. They're struggling to understand when these programs are going to come through. They're starting to panic, and that is a word that my team is using to describe how people are showing up at our offices and our food pantries is the word panicked, and they don't know what's going to happen. People that can't pay their utility bills, can't pay their food bills, these are individuals that become unstable in their housing because then they can't pay their rent prices.
It's a compounding problem.
Yes, absolutely.
Sarah, yesterday, a lawmaker, I believe from Connecticut, told reporters he's living on $6.20 a day for food to try to draw attention to this issue. For people who have never relied on this form of assistance, what can be done to help people relate now in some way?
A lot of people really do rely on this benefit. You know, at any one time, 1 in 8 people, both in Wisconsin and the US, is using SNAP. And if we look at people's likelihood of having ever relied on food assistance over the course of their lives, it's a much larger proportion. So I think we don't want to treat this like it's, you know, a strange problem, this need for resources to ensure access to food is common. And we know it's common, you know, more so in some counties than others. We see a range, you know, in some counties in Wisconsin, we're talking about, you know, 1 in 6 people relying on SNAP. So I think that's one thing to keep in mind. I think we also really take the benefits of SNAP for granted. Before the food stamp program was rolled out in the United States in the 1960s and 1970s, there were issues with starvation and malnutrition in the US. And so we don't see those problems now the same way. And I think we assume that those problems are gone. The reason we don't see them, though, is because we have programs in place that provide people access to food. So if we threaten that access, we raise the risk that some of those problems could return.
Do you feel this moment is a significant erosion of the social safety net?
It certainly is a moment where families are going to have challenges. And so we don't know how long this shutdown is going to continue. You know, this is an unprecedented length in recent history for a government shutdown. And if it continues on longer, it's really a question of what December would bring, for example.
Hetty, in our last few moments together, what do you tell people who are really scared right now, really worried about their payments?
We do the best we can to serve them. We are, you know, food pantries especially are places where people come not just for food, but for other connection to benefits, to services. And so we and all of the food pantries in our communities across Wisconsin are working to provide food, to provide security by connecting them with other resources in the community that they need.
And we're going to leave it there. Hetty Brown, Executive Director of Cooley CAP, and Sarah Halpern-Meakin, Director of the Institute for Research on Poverty at UW-Madison.